This is a Chazaras here for the daily Mishnah Berurah Yomi. It should be as a refuah shlema for Baruch Tzvi ben Rivka Batya, beginning with Simen Lamed Beis Seif Dalet. Tzarech shelo tidbak shem ot b'chaverta lakol ot yamukav ezgivil. When writing tefillin, they have to make sure that each letter is independent and isn't touching any of the letters around it. Mishnah Berurah points out bima ot gadol. However, if the letters are touching in such in a way that it's so large that even if we separated the space in between, there are those who say that if the two letters are so large and they're still touching, but if the space in between will be erased, that the two letters will still appear independently, will be nikar, their tsuras haosios, that they will both be nikar, that they are both recognized as separate letters. There are those who say, therefore, it doesn't, even if you haven't separated them, it is a kosher. And he assumed, he thinks they have to be separated in order for it to be kosher. And he points out that this is le'ikuva, that every single letter needs to be separate, otherwise it is not kosher. And he says this is true for not only the letter itself, but even the kutzo shel yud, the bottom left corner of the yud on the top. It needs to be also mukav gvil, needs to be separated from itself, cannot touch another letter. The Bir Halacha talks about what happens when the tagin touch each other, those crowns that we put on top of the letters. He says that if the tagin from, often they have three on top, that in the letters of Sha'niz Get, Shinayin Tet, Nun, Zayin, Gimel, Tzad, you have three little lines on top of each one, and if those little lines touch each other, that would be possible, according to the Ramami Pano. And the Shari Tshuva writes that it's because now it's not Nikar, that Tzuras Ha'os, it looks like a different letter, and that would be a problem. However, if the tag of one letter touches the tag of another letter, the Meiri is Mekel, the Magen Avraham is Machmir, and although the Bir Halacha says L'chadchila, it's certainly worthwhile to separate the two out. If a person doesn't, it is still kosher. The Rama adds on here, V'yichtov K'tiva Tama, it should be a beautiful handwriting, every letter should be very clear. You shouldn't miss out on any of the aspects of any of the letters. We'll see much later the details of each letter. You have to have each of the tagin as appropriate. It should be a little bit thick, so it doesn't get erased very easily. The tefillin should be appear to be beautiful as much as we can. A person needs to write with his right hand, even if he is ambidextrous, should be writing with his right hand. If is a person who is a righty who writes tefillin or a mezuzah with his left hand, it is fasul. If you can find properly written tefillin, so then you should do so, however, Rashi points out. But if you cannot, you can only find tefillin that were written by the left hand of the righty person, you should put them on without a bracha. The iteriyad small day have a yamin. Person who's a lefty who writes with his left hand, so then he must write with his left hand. He may not write with his right hand. If he switches it, that would be a problem, and that would be ma'akev as well. Mishnah points out that if someone who writes with his right hand and does all of other activities with his left, Prima Gadim says that it's best to avoid buying tefillin from such a person. And he also adds from the Ramami Pano that if you write with your mouth or any other such creative activity, that is not considered to be ktivat yamin, and that is a puzzle. Sif vav. Ein tzarech, the Rama adds in the word tzarech, ein tzarech hasar tetkim shita halyona. Sirtut are those lines that we scratch into the cloth to keep things straight. On a tefillin, the only sirtut that is necessary is on the top line. Mishnah points out, because tefillin are, there's a halach l'moshe misina, that mezuzah requires sirtut. Tefillin do not require sirtut, halach l'moshe misina. It just happens to be a din that we don't write more than three words without sirtut, and so the top line, it needs to have sirtut. That's it. V'imeneo del yashar ashita v'lo sirtut. So you start to go, but if that's not sufficient in order for the person, the individual writing, the sofer writing, to keep all the rest of the lines straight, so then he can, if he chooses, to have sirtut on each and every line, if he chooses, but it's not necessary. He adds on, you shouldn't do sirtut with something lead that leaves a mark, because although you're not have extra marks on the film, that would be a problem. The Rama adds on, even though tefillin do not require sirtut for each and every line, you do have to have sirtut on the top and the bottom and the sides in order to frame it. And he says that is practically the minhag. And the Rama points out that, you know, Mishnah Berurah points out that even if you only have sirtut on the top, or according to him, the entire thing is framed, and the lines in between, the person thinks that they could write it straight, and it ends up being crooked, it's still kosher, but it is not a problem. Sif Zayin. Halacha Moshe Misin that tefillin on a cloth v'lo ala duchsustus v'lo ala gvil. Halacha Moshe Misin that tefillin be written on cloth, but not on duchsustus and not on gvil. And then he will explain what they mean. Kotin ala cloth v'makom basar v'imshina pasul. And on cloth you have to write on the flesh side of the cloth. And if you didn't, you were on the other side, it would be pasul. So mao klaf o mao duchsustus. So what is the difference between klaf and duchsustus? So the Shulchan Aruch explains, ha'or b'shat ibudo cholken otol ishnaim. After the leather is tanned, it is split in half. Chelek achitzon shu letzada seyar nikar klaf. Apnimi davak lebasar nikar duchsustus. It gets split widthwise. The portion that was closer to the skin, to the outside world, that's called klaf. The portion that was closer to the flesh, that's called duchsustus. And therefore, and we write only on the cloth. Well, so what does it mean we write on the cloth side when we write on cloth on the flesh side? It means that we write on the, although we're taking the outer layer of the skin, we're writing on the layer, has two sides, one faces the outside world, one faces the inside of the animal. We write on the layer that faced the inside of the animal. So Shulchan Aruch points out, he says, our practice back in the day is not to split the cloth, not to split the skin into duchsustus and cloth. So Yeshlem din cloth, he says, when we don't split it, it all has a din cloth. And if we do that, we write on the inner side, just like we would on a regular, on a cloth that the Shulchan Aruch was the Gemara is talking about when we split it. When we tell that basar garim harbe achanishar ela klaf bilvadi, he says our practice is to keep it, instead of separating it from the duchsus from the klaf, we just scrape off a lot of the flesh, and so it's much cleaner, and so it's still a thin amount. He says even in our practice, when we scrape off from the outside, from the side that has the hair of the animal, he says that's just to clean it up. That doesn't make the what's left to be duchsus, it still has a din of cloth, and we write on the inside, meaning the side that faced the inside of the animal, not the face of the side that faced the outside world. Moving on to Seif Ches. Tzarech ha-klaf liyos me'ubad ba'afatzim ha-besid, it needs to be tanned with the proper tanning materials. V'tzarech she'em me'ubad lishmo, the ibud needs to be done lishmo, as all aspects of tefillin need to be. And a person, it's ideal, Mishnah Berurah writes lechatchila certainly, but b'dievet it's fine if you think it. But lechatchila, a person should say, I am here by being ma'abed this cloth or leather for the purpose of a tefillin or a sefer Torah. But if you do it for the purpose of a mezuzah, it's possible. Mishnah Berurah points out that it needs to be in the level of kedusha. If you do it for the kedusha of a sefer Torah, you can then write tefillin or mezuzah from it. If you do it for the purpose of something more kadosh, you can use that leather for something less kadosh. But if you prepare that tefillin, if you prepare that leather for something less kadosh, for mezuzah, for example, that would not have attained the level of kadosh necessary for tefillin or for a sefer Torah. And certainly, he says, even if you made it for any level of kadosh, you shouldn't use it for a davar chol. Even if you made it for mezuzah, you then shouldn't use it for a davar chol, even though there's no lower level of kedusha from it. He says, really, lechatchila, everyone should say, when they put the leather into the tanning, they should say, you know, saying, oras eilu toch hasid l'shem kedusha sefer Torah. You should always do it l'shem sefer Torah, just in case you want to change it to tefillin mezuzah, it should be kosher. But if I choose, he wants to reserve the right to repurpose that kavana, and that might be acceptable as well. And we assume that when the person says it out loud, Mishnah Berurah points out, is when you put the leather into the tanning, that's when considered that it needs to be lishma. It's not every moment that it's sitting there. It takes a while that it sits there. We're only concerned with the actual act of tanning, which we assume to be when the leather goes in. Siftes. Im ibdo eino Yehudi. If a non-Jew does the ibud, does the tanning, la haram, b'pasol afilo amar lo la Yisrael abid lishmo, la rosh kosher, Yisrael omed al gabo v'sio. Everyone assumes if a non-Jew does it on his own, that would be possible. The question is, what happens when a Jew is instructing the non-Jew to do it, l'shem tefillin? The Rambam says that's not acceptable, and the Rosh says it's acceptable, im Yisrael omed al gabo v'sio, and the Rambam says k'tzatz b'ibuda. If the Yisrael is telling him it needs to be done l'shem mitzvah tefillin, as well as Sio Ktsas is participating on some level. Mr. Burr says, well, even if he doesn't participate on any level at all, for the Rosh, it would be kosher. The Rambam assumes that Akoma al da'at nafshei avid, that even if we tell him to do it l'shma, that doesn't count. And the Rosh assumes it doesn't need to be completely, as long as we tell him to do it for the kavana of tefillin, that is sufficient, because all we need him to do is to place the tefillin, to place the leather into the tanning at that moment, and therefore for that short amount of time he will listen, and it will be considered to be lishma, and it will be acceptable. And the Rama adds on the chenagin, and he says that ideally, the Mishnah Berurah writes that the ideal is that Yisrael should put it in lishma, and he tells the non-Jew who's continuing to doing the process, please, everything else you do, With this leather should also be l'shem tefillin, even though b'dieved that's not necessary. B'dieved only that's necessary is the initial placement should be l'shem tefillin, even though the rest is not. He also points out that it has to be at the beginning, that only at the beginning does it count that you're doing l'shma. If the Jew comes in at the end and does one of the ending parts l'shem tefillin, that would not be accepted. Seif Yud, Shemesamen Hamnekovim Bamartzeakin, Osi Osafel Bishay Nakalaino Yudul Zayef and Choshoshin, Mishum Demir Tataino Yehudi Penyakir Yisrael Betud Ain. He says, well, they used to tan a lot of things together, and so how would you indicate that this piece of leather was put in Lishma or Lashem Tfilin and this piece of leather was not? They used to put all sorts of symbols on it, and they used to make little holes in it, and he says, yeah, when you put the little holes in it, so you have to be concerned that maybe a non Jew put a similar piece of leather in with similar holes, and therefore perhaps the piece of leather that you're removing from it isn't the one that you intended to do Lishma, is a different one. He says, we don't have to worry about that because the non Jews are concerned that if we catch them doing that, we won't be using their tanning services anymore, and therefore they might lose. Seif Yud Aleph, or Seif Do Shelo Lishmoim, Yesho Tikun Lachzer Labdo Lishmoim, Fire Betur Yerodea, Simen Reisha. And Aleph, if you do the leather Shelo Lishmo, can you go back or not? He says, wait until we get the Yerodea, Simen Reish Ayin Aleph, Mirtzah Hashem Hashta Ba'agala Uvizman Kariv. Seif Yud Beis, Yeah, Klaf Me'or Behema V'chaya Tahorim. The cloth has to be from a kosher species of animal. Afilim Nevelo Trefa Shalem, it doesn't have to be shechted kosher. It could be a nevela died on its own, or a treif, even if it was shechted. It's not acceptable to be eaten. Avalome or behema v'chayav ofat meim, v'mat from a non-kosher species. Tichsevet based on the pasuk, l'man tia torat Hashem beficha, that to be the words of Hashem should be in your mouth. Mimin hamot elofich, like Mara adds on an additional level of interpretation, not just that they should be ready in your mouth to be said at all times, but it needs to be something that would be acceptable to put into the mouth, meaning a kosher species. Vilome or daga filhutar mishum de nafizome, but not from fish skins, even kosher fish, because that's not considered to be clean enough. Sorry, Chuvas points out minamutar beficha, not only from a kosher species, it has to be something that in theory is kosher. He has a whole discussion, what if it's an animal that was worshipped, Avodah Zarah was worshipped on, and therefore you cannot eat it, etc. They say from the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, that he was actually particularly makbid to make tefillin and mezuzahs out of animals, kosher species of animals that were nevelos, that could not be eaten. He said when you have an animal that you could eat, so the shechita itself gives a sort of a tikkun. It gives a purpose, a holy purpose to the death of this animal, and therefore it's acceptable. And then therefore that's been accomplished already. But when you have a kosher animal such as a cow that died on its own, so there's no tikkun, there's no giving spiritual purpose other than making tefillin out of it, and he would particularly go out of his way to make sure to use a nevela for tefillin. Sif Yud Gimel Yaklav Shalim Shalim Bona Kavim Shein Hadio Over Alav the Hainu Shalotiyahu Oot Nireit Bo Chaluk O Lishtayim. The cloth should be whole, without holes in it, such that when you write, it shouldn't be seen that the... So there shouldn't be little holes in it, that there should be spaces in between. The Mishnah Berurah points out that as long as it's small enough that when you write the letter and the ink goes right over it, it's not a problem. Even though you might feel it while you're writing, as long as it's clear that it's going through, it's not an issue. But if the hole is so large that the ink can't seal the hole, that would be a problem. The details of what holes count, we'll see shortly. If Yud Dalet. Hasofrim Esrizim Osim Shlosha Minei Klafim. He says those sofrim who are very careful make three different types of klafim. Aviotar Lichtov Parshat Shema Shiktana. They use a thicker cloth to write Shema, the parsha of Shema. The Hadakmim has something a little bit thinner to write Vayayim Shema Shigdoliotra, write something that's a little bit longer. Mishabur points out it should be Vayakev Yacha, not Vayayim Shema. Ulparshas Kadesh, Ulparshas Vayakev Yacha, he points out it should be Vayayim Shema. Shehim Arukos Osim Klaf Dakma. Oh, the Bazeit Malo Abatim Beshava Vezeu Noilat Filin. Says the point of making the klafim at different thicknesses so that they fill up the Shel Rosh appropriately and each one takes up the same amount of space, and it's nicer for the tefillin that each one should be equally thick. The Mishnah Berurah points out that nowadays we don't do that. We use the same thickness of cloth for all of them, and if we need to, we leave extra space, or we need extra blank cloth in order that they should take up the same amount of width in the bottom of the tefillin, so it should be a noy tefillin. Tesvav. If after you already wrote the letter, there is a hole in the center of the letter hey or the center of the letter mem, kosher afilu nikav kol tocho. Now, even if the hole takes up the entire space of the letter, such that only the outside part of the letter is visible, that should be kosher. Shamekav emalei kol achalal. Even if the hole is taking up the entire space of the inside of the letter, that's fine. Aval birushalmi mashma shegam befenim tzarich shiyam mukav klaf. The Yerushalmi disagrees. According to the Bavli, all that's necessary is that mukav gvil, that klaf surrounds, empty space surrounds the letter. That's only on the outside of the letter, but not on the inside. The Yerushalmi, however, thinks that you need to have mukav gvil even on the inside of the letter, and therefore, if you don't have mukav gvil on the inside of the letter, if the hole takes up the entire space of the inside, that would be pasul. And the Shulchan Aruch continues. Nick of regal pnimi shalhei afilo nisar mino lekolsu kosher laharosh. What if the left leg of the hay, meaning the little piece of the hay, has a hole or is missing something? As long as there a little bit left, is there something left? The Rosh says that's kosher. The Rama adds on about shar poskim asrichem kimlo os ketana v'hachi hilchisa. The Rama adds on that according to all other poskim, it's not sufficient that it be just a small sliver of some semblance of dio. It needs to be actually the size of a small letter, and we'll see shortly. Mr. River points out that we have to understand that, first of all, the rule of Mukaf Gavil according to the Bavli is that every letter has to have a Gavil completely surrounding it, empty space of cloth all around it, but it doesn't need to be inside, and that every letter needs to be clear that it's recognized as that letter itself. Fine. He says this mukaf gavil on the surrounding the letter is only din lachadchila when before you write. Before one writes, so it has to be mukaf gavil completely. If afterwards something happened such that there's a hole or there's something and now it's not mukaf gavil, he says we'll see a little bit later what the din is. He says lachadchila, it's better not to write at all when there are any holes. So he does quote the Taz and Prima Gadim, who say we should follow the Yerushalmi, that if the hole is in the middle of the mem or in the middle of the hay, and it takes up the entire space, that letter is puzzle, even though that doesn't appear in the Bavli. Now, regarding the left leg of the hay, Mishnah Berurah points out that's only a special din by the hay, where it's a separate left letter, where it's a separate piece of the letter. The rush there is makel, that as long as some semblance of dio still remains, it is kosher. However, the Rush would say it's not about the right side of the letter versus the left side of the letter. Because the Rush would agree that if it's a Ches or it's a Tes or any other letter that has two sides, that's insufficient. It's just a special din of the hay that left leg of the hay, the small piece, can be a smaller size. But according to most poskim that the Rama adds, it needs to be the size of a full small letter. He also points out in the Mishnah Berurah that apparently this was a problem at the time, and so for need to be aware of that. Continuing, Siv Tesvav Nikav Regalei Mini Im Nishar Mimenu Melo Os Ketana Kosher Vim Lef Pasul. But if the right side of the hay was erased or was a problematic, then it got thinner in either way. There are Mishnah Berurah points out either in height or in width. It needs to have the size of a small letter. It's not just sufficient to have just some semblance of dio remaining there. It needs to have still the semblance of a small letter. It has to be the size of the smallest letter in order for it to be kosher. Because the rush was only lenient when it became to the left side of the hay, because that was a small piece that he argues doesn't have a special din. But when it comes to the right side, the thickness is irrelevant because ein shir lo ovi haosios, that each letter doesn't have to be any size thickness, and that would be kosher. The Mishnah Berurah does point out, however, that when looking at the vertical part of the letter, when we have to see on the right side to see if there is a Tsuras Ha'os or not, we only look at the top part of the letter. We don't look at that which is below, because that which is above the part of the letter has to look like a Tsuras Ha'os. If that which is above the part of the Nekev or of the break in the letter looks like an Os Ketana, that is sufficient. We do not count that which is below. Since the complex letter has a right side and a left side, if the right side at least has the size of a Tsuras Ha'os, even if it's short, that is still considered to be kosher. The Shulchan Aruch continues in Sif Tezayin, Nifsak Achas Ma'osios, the Rama adds in, Habshutos, Kugon Vav Zayinos, Nifsak Regel V'chayotzeba. If a letter, a different type of a letter, is stopped, which only has one leg, meaning not like a Ches or a Tes, or a tuff that has two sides, but only has one side. So now it's a little bit more complicated. Shulchan Aruch continues, in Tinok She'enu lo chacham lo tipesh, yodeli kroso, kosher, ve'im lav, paso. Now it depends on whether a child who's not chacham and not tipesh, not chacham meaning he doesn't understand the context of the Torah, and therefore he'll just make out the word what it should be, and not tipesh, meaning he can make out what the letters are. If he recognizes it as the letter, then it's considered to be a kosher letter. This is if it's broken or if it's missing a little bit of a dio. Now, this is different than the case before, because here, if there's a break in the letter in the vertical axis of the letter, even if above looks like a yud, that would be possible, because if you have a zayin and the bottom half of it is rubbed out, so in fact the letter looks like a yud. It does not look like a zayin, and that would certainly be. And certainly be possible. The very fact that it has the space of a yud, the size of a yud on top of the break, isn't good. Whereas previously, in the previous, if we said that if it has the size of a yud above the break, it is good, because then that together with the left side of the letter still has a tsuros haos. Here, in this case, the idea is that if the area above the break still has the tsuros haos, if this child will still recognize it as the tsuros haos, then it will count as that os. However, the part beneath does not count as part of the os, because it's not considered to be part of it, and it's after the break. Have a wonderful week learning.